Welcome to Write Through the Roof, the podcast for writers who want to improve their craft. I'm Madeline Diest, and in this show, I'm interviewing writers of all different types and asking, what's that one thing that took your writing to the next level? So come and join me and learn all the proven tips, tricks, and techniques to take your writing right through the roof. Great. A little background about Abby. Abby is a writer of romantic family sagas and historical fiction. She's based in Minnesota. She's really busy. She has two series running in parallel, the Shore Leave Cafe series and the post-Civil War Dove series. Her latest book in the Dove series, The Grace of a Hawk, is out now. Thanks for coming on the show, Abby.
Oh, you are welcome.
Excellent. Okay, so how I like to start, I like to, you know, warm up a bit. I don't know, a bit of, you know, Richard Simmons, maybe some kind of aerobics. Let's start off with some, you know, jumping around. So the first question I'd like to ask you is, are you a plotter or a pantser?
I definitely plotter. So the story for me takes shape as like a bridge is how I think of it. So there's a beginning. And I'll write and I'll have an idea where the bridge will end or sort of, you know, come out. But typically when I write through the process of it, it changes. So it won't be just a single bridge. It will be many that go off in different directions. So I have this intent and this is where the story I think will go. But then as I write it, it always goes different directions.
I really like that imagery of a story being a bridge. That's really great.
Thank you. Yeah, that's just how I picture it. And then I follow the bridge. I walk along it, but it changes. Oh, gosh. Like in my first historical novel, one of the characters sort of showed me while I was writing that he wasn't a man, but instead a boy. So he was really supposed to be only 12 years old, even though initially I'd had him written as a grown man. And as I walked along the bridge, I realized, oh, wait, no, he's just a boy. And then that was just how it was meant to be. So I try to be flexible. I'll have the idea for the story, but then as I write, if it changes and that feels natural and authentic, I'll go with that. I try not to second guess myself.
Good. That's really interesting how he was a boy, but we might go back to that later. I'll continue on with some of these short, sharp questions. So do you write every day?
I do. Even if it's just for an hour, it just is a way for me to touch base with my story. You know, in a day that, say, we were maybe on vacation or something, then I would probably, you know, then I wouldn't write. But just on a normal work day or even on the weekends, the kids will say, where's mom? Oh, she's at her laptop. It's like I'll sneak away and be writing a little bit. So, yeah, for me, it's important every day.
Right. And do you have a writing fuel of choice?
Oh, coffee. I am just a coffee drinker.
And how do you take your coffee?
I black with a little cream, just a little to swirl in. And I have been known to make a second pot if I'm really in the groove. I'll just, yeah, it's, I won't be able to keep that up forever, but.
Great. All right. So I've got to know you a little bit more. So let's get a bit more in depth. So how do you describe your writing and what themes do you like to explore?
Family dynamics is really important to me and how we are shaped by our family and by our past. I really like to explore relationships between not only men and women, but mothers and daughters or sisters or people that even just sort of pop into our lives that we didn't anticipate, but that become really important. So for me, I guess I would describe my writing as very character driven. The characters make the story. So they are what give life to my stories. And I like to explore. I would also describe my writing as being gritty. So I like to describe things realistically and not shy away from, you know, describing something, say, as it really happened. I do lots of research in order to give the best descriptions that I can.
especially in the historical context, I imagine.
Yes. Yeah. Yep, absolutely. So for me, many years ago when I was a young woman in her 20s, I was very fascinated by the 19th century in American history and women in particular who worked in saloons and worked as prostitutes. And I, like going into college, I did a lot of women's studies. And I thought their lives were so fascinating and I wanted to learn more about them. So I read, researched, like journals, diaries, even like stories in newspapers about these women. And I felt like they were almost demonized. Like they were looked at as being, you know, whores, and all these terrible names were associated with them. And I thought, you know, wow, these women were trying to survive. And in my writing, especially with the historical series, I try to humanize these women and point out, you know, they had feelings and they had aspirations and hopes, but they circumstantially, you know, just to survive, many of them worked as prostitutes. Mm-hmm. And so I try in my writing to humanize, or even give voice to, because I think a lot of these women really had no voice. They were shut out. So.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Cause whenever I always find that whenever I watch a Western or anything set in the mm-hmm. Wild West, that they're generally the only female character. And yet you don't get to see much about them.
Yeah, they're very stereotyped. And it's definitely in American culture too, because the Western is so important to American movie and television and novels but the characters are so stereotyped. And so I thought, let's really look at these women as individuals, and you know, they had hearts and they were not just these machines. Mm-hmm. So again, like back when I was in my 20s, I had this kind of idea for this story. And then it wasn't until I was older that I had a chance to really explore it and sit down and do more research and kind of and bring it to life. But it's been a really cool process. I love researching history. I love that era. And so for me, it's just wonderful to be able to research and write about it.
Mm. Fantastic. So we could go off on tangents, but let's talk about writing. So in your writing journey, what has been the one thing that you think has really improved your writing?
For me, the act of writing itself, you can only become a better writer by writing. And so for me, just kind of trial and error and going with a gut instinct. So like I said, if I change something in the story, I try not to second guess that. I try to think, okay, this is the natural progression, of a story. And for me also, connecting with other writers, I can't stress how important that is to connect with other people and just share your triumphs or just share your struggles. You can commiserate with each other. And it's that is really, really important.
Absolutely. So with your, let's say your current book that's out, were you trying anything new there?
Yeah, actually I was writing predominantly in a male voice, which for me, I shift point of view quite often in stories, but this was the first time the bulk of the book was told by a man. And so that was a really, really interesting, you know, at first I was nervous about that, like, would this be authentic? But I really enjoyed it. I loved writing in this particular man's voice. And even things like describing women through a man's voice was it was just a new experience. It was really fun.
Mm. How did you have to get some male readers to test that for you?
My husband likes to do, he definitely will read and offer his opinion. And I just thought, okay, I want this to seem like it's a man, not a man being written by a woman, but how a man actually would perceive things, and not only a man, but a former soldier. So I think, having men read it and offer suggestions is very, very helpful.
Mm, good. So what writers inspire you?
Oh gosh, my favorite writer whose books and works have always been a part of my life is Larry McMurtry. Mm. He's a Texan, and his books, they are written in a way that they're the realism in them really pulls you in. I remember reading Lonesome Dove when I was a sixth grader, so I was really young, but it was so powerful and the characters were so larger than life. And then I thought, you know, this, I want to write like this someday. I loved how he described things and kind of punched you in the gut with his words. And that's what I hope my words do, you know, cause a reaction, cause someone to think about something or to feel something. So he definitely is my favorite writer, but, I read a lot of poetry. I love Sherman Alexie. I love Walt Whitman. I love Langston Hughes. I just love the way I am not a poet, but I love how poets use language. So for me, reading poetry is almost like listening to music. I love it.
That's really good. So quite a few of the writers I've spoken to have talked about reading widely. Generally, they're talking about outside their genre, but yeah, poetry is a whole another world that can really help your writing, I imagine.
Yes. And again, it's hard for me to tell a short story. Like I'm not good at being succinct. So to read a poem, I think poets have a real gift for that. And so I like seeing language used in a different way. You know, just doing the same thing, kind of punching you in the gut with the words, but they do it in a really short format. Mm. And I respect that. I like that.
Mm, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit more about Grace of a Hawk. So you talked about how you're trying something new with a new, using a male point of view. So, but what inspired this book in your series?
This book is, I was trying to conclude the series in a way that tied off all the major storylines satisfactorily. And this character who tells the story, he is a character in the first two, but he was more of a secondary character. But as the story progressed, I realized he needed to tell this last story. So I tried to describe things through his eyes. So he's the former soldier. He's got a lot of demons, a lot of history, a lot of trouble in his past. And so for me, it was really important that he described what was happening through his eyes. It was a really, really enjoyable process to tell that story.
So talk me through the process of finishing a series. So how did you make sure that all your, as you said, all your strands were tied together?
It's a painful process because I love writing about these characters so much. So the idea of finishing and concluding the series was really difficult because I just wanted to keep going. So I made sure in the story that the major storylines, of which there were two, finished up in a way that readers could say, okay, they got their ending. I know what happened to these characters. And so I just was very careful. I did leave, however, kind of a trail of breadcrumbs, if you will, that there could potentially be another book or maybe like a second series. Mm-hmm. Just because it's really hard. It was so hard for me to let it go. I just wanted to keep telling the story.
Okay. Well, you know, just leave a little opening for yourself just in case.
Yes.
Cool. So, and you're writing two different series at the same time. How do you balance that?
I've always had at least two stories going on. And then when I get to a point where I've written, you know, two chapters, then I'll bounce to the other manuscript and work on that for a while. And it just kind of helps my thoughts. Like when I come back to the story I was working on, then I have kind of a new perspective on it usually. So for me, it's just this intricate, like, family tree of names inside my mind. And it's just kind of the process that's always worked for me. So it's like moving between two.
And they're sufficiently different genres for you to be able to do that?
Yes. And so I have my contemporary series is a romance. And then my historical series, it does have romantic elements, but I would say it was more historical fiction. And then there's a crossover because the characters from the historical series are the ancestors of the characters from the contemporary series.
Oh, wow.
So it's fun because they kind of cross over in that way. So it's still the same families.
Mm.
And I did that just because the stories I like to read best are often series that follow many generations. I love the family aspect of things. That's why I wrote series that sort of crossed over like that.
So do you have you said you had a family tree in your head, but have you got it mapped out on a big A3 sheet of paper with all the different connections?
I do. Yes, actually I do. And I prefer, it's like for so many years growing up, we never had a computer in my house. I would write longhand or I would use a typewriter. Mm-hmm. It's like I grew up in the 1920s or something. I mean, I was so used to doing that. And for me to keep a journal that I hand write is really important. And I just kind of collect my thoughts best that way. So all the family trees are organized, but like on notebook paper mm-hmm. instead of like a spreadsheet, because that's just how it works best for me. Mm-hmm. But typing, I mean, for sure I type on a computer now for my stories because it's so much easier to edit. But yeah, I miss writing longhand sometimes. There's kind of a different thought process when you write longhand. I always liked that.
So seeing you've got so many books on the go, I might start to wrap up and let you get back to it. So what are you working on right now?
Sure. So at the moment, I'm working on it's a standalone novel, contemporary fiction. It's called Blue Honey, and it's been kind of a refreshing change not to be working on a romance. So I'm really enjoying this particular story, but it focuses more on family dynamics and like dysfunctional family issues. So that's what I'm working on at the moment.
Fantastic. So whereabouts are you at in the process?
The story itself is, so when I write, I'll write like the entire first draft, and I think of that as telling myself the story. Mm-hmm. And so I'm done with that, and now I'm going back and I start at the very first chapter and then kind of flesh it out. So I've told myself the story, and now I can go back and just start incorporating details and lengthening it. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm at the moment.
So your first draft is generally shorter, so you kind of write short and then...
Yep. And sometimes, I've been known to write a scene that occurs, you know, at the end before I get there, and then you sort of work your way to it. So it's tough for me to write chronologically through an entire book. I'll write ahead and then I'll come back and connect that scene. But that it definitely wouldn't work for everyone. That's just how I write.
Good. Great. Well, good to hear. So I might wrap up and let you get back to Blue Honey. So where can people where can people find you and your work?
So you could look at my website, which is www.abbywilliamsauthor.com, or my books are available at any online bookseller. So Amazon or Barnes & Noble, Google Books, Indies, anywhere you could purchase online, you should be able to find my books.
So thank you so much for spending the time with me today. It was so interesting to hear about your process. I'm not that familiar with romance writers, and whilst it's all writing, it's always really great to hear a different perspective.
Well, thank you for having me. It was fun.
At the moment, I'm in the really fun process of world building for a new project. So I'm working out who my characters are, my setting, and starting to sketch out the plot using the foolscap method and the hero's heroine's journey. But today I wanted to talk about a technique for plotting out scenes. I think I got this tip from an introduction to fantasy course I did with USA Today bestselling author C.S. Paquette at the Victorian Writers' Centre. And the purpose of this tip is to delve deeper into your story beyond the cliches. And I've seen this tip from a number of other authors subsequently. So when I'm setting up my major scenes and working out what the scene needs to achieve in the story, I also write down as many solutions to the problem as I can. Up to 20 different solutions, free writing and off the top of my head. And like automatic writing or the morning pages, what this is trying to do is sort through the cliches and tropes and things you've read and seen a million times before and let your subconscious take over and truly bring out the weird and wonderful from inside your head, the stuff that only you can write. I like the 10 ideas a day technique. I find that 90% of it is boring and crap, but there's usually one or two really interesting solutions for my scene, which helps, of course, to build a more interesting story. So if you're building something new at the moment or stuck on a scene, perhaps this can help. Thanks for listening to Write Through the Roof. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe or spread the word by writing a review on your listening platform of choice. And if you'd like to get in contact with me, please go to madelinedst.com or madeline_dst on Twitter, no apostrophes. You can find the show notes for this episode on madelinedst.com under the Write Through the Roof tab. And until next time, what are you going to do to improve your writing this week?